Lord, we thank you so much for your precious word, for all your doctrines, for all your teachings and ordinances, commandments. We pray, my Father, that this morning you would teach us to fear thee. We pray, my Lord, that you would just bless everyone here this morning. Speak to every heart that's here and suit a blessing to everyone according to their need. And I pray, my Lord, that above all, that you receive all the honor and glory as only thou art worthy. We ask it in the precious name of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. I'd like to speak this morning on the fear of God. It's something that Billy started Wednesday. He was preaching and touched on a few things, and I already had my mind made up. This is what I wanted to teach, or preach, rather. And out of so many verses, I picked this one, because this is a question that was asked to a man that's about to go to hell. He was asked the question, "Does not thou fear God?" And you know, all of those people that saw him right there on the cross, that listened to the whole episode of the at Calvary where Jesus was crucified, there's no doubt in my mind that they thought that this was a very brave individual. This guy was mocking death on his face. He was mocking, acting real big. And after he was all over, there's no doubt in my mind that these people were saying that man was a very brave man. And for sure at his funeral, they probably were saying that now he's in a better place. He is now resting in peace. He's not suffering no more. Because that's what they say about everybody. It don't matter whether they're saved or lost. They're always saying that when you die, you go to a better place. You're now in a resting place. But that's not so. That's not what the Bible teaches. A matter of fact, if somebody had told this man what Jesus had preached, just on Luke 16, he would have known that right after you die, the Bible tells you, you're going to be in torments. That's what the Bible says. You're going to be engulfed with fire that will never be quenched. If you look at the Old Testament and you go to Job chapter 27, you will find the same thing. Job says that when a man dies, he's talking about the lost, he's taken away just like a storm takes him away. And immediately, the Bible says, he's overtaken with terror. Terror overwhelms him. In other words, he goes on to say that there will be some men in hell that will be clapping their hands for that guy. This is what happens to everybody who passes away, who is not saved. But what I also see is that this man also was very confused. He didn't fear God. And so many people in this world, they don't fear God. I see it also with Christians. They don't fear God. And the thing is that when you make a research of this, you will find that this is what God has been commanding from beginning to end. From Genesis to Revelation. This is His desire that you would fear Him. Now I want you to understand that it's not something that you would just go into a corner and be afraid of Him. He tells you all the benefits. There's a lot of reasons why you need to fear God. But this man was very confused. It's just like most people. They only hear part of the sermon. Or they only hear the things that they want. They only read the Bible a little bit here, a little bit there. And they take only that which is convenient for them. It's just like every time you hear somebody and you start telling them something, they tell you immediately, oh, the Bible says, fear not. Or the Bible says, thou shalt not judge. And they don't read the other part of the Bible where it says, you can judge, just take the beam out of your eye, and then you can judge. He tells you in another place, judge righteous judgment. He tells you in another place, is there not a wise man among you that can judge? You're supposed to judge. But they don't tell them these things. It's not convenient for them. They also tell them all the time, God is love. And surely that is true. God is love. But they don't tell them that God is also a consuming fire. God is also a God of judgment. God is also a holy God, and He will have to judge sin. They don't tell them those things. And what I see here, my friend, is that this man had also heard just part of the verse. He had been told somewhere in Luke, somebody told him, or he heard it through the grapevine, but he heard that don't worry what men will do unto you, fear not. He says, because once they kill you, that's it. They can't do nothing after that. Somebody forgot to tell him the other part. Somebody forgot to tell him that Jesus also said, fear him. Which after that he has killed the body, he also has the power to cast you into hell. Yea, I say, fear him. That's what Jesus said. Somebody forgot to tell this guy that part. But you know, that's really the way this world is. They don't pay attention to what the Bible says. But you know, this morning, what I would like to just ask you this morning, why is it important to fear God? You know, this is one good reason. You don't fear God, chances are you're not going to get saved. This man did not fear God, and of course, he didn't get saved. But you know, when you go through the book of Jude, Billy had mentioned also that God kills people. And if you read through the book of Jude, that's exactly what he's telling you. He gives you a short, brief summary of all the vengeance and wrath of God from beginning to end. It starts all the way from heaven. It begins to tell you about the angels that went away from God. They were cast out. Then he goes on and talks about those who went through the wilderness. He says, I'll put you in remembrance. He says, you know how God, after he had saved them from bondage, saved them and took them out of Egypt, he destroyed them who believed not. He doesn't say he just put them to sleep. He said he destroyed them that believed not. He goes on to say about Sodom and Gomorrah. Those people didn't stand a chance. Poor Sodom and Gomorrah. They had a very bad Christian to take care of that. He wouldn't witness to nobody. He didn't tell them anything until destruction was imminent. Then he went and told, and of course they just laughed at him and they mocked him. They didn't believe him. And many Christians are in the same boat. They're no different than Lot. When you tell somebody, they don't believe you because of the way you have acted. How can they believe that there is a God that can save you and change you when you haven't been changed? But there's something very important that I see also when Jude finishes. He says, and then on some, have compassion, making a difference. And he says, and on others, save with fear. Had you ever thought of that? On some, you have compassion, making a difference. And we should. That's what the Bible teaches. But on the other ones, you save them with fear. You know why you save them with fear? Because if there's no fear of punishment, they're not going to come to God. If you don't think that there is a hell, and that's why the Jehovah's Witnesses don't fear, because they've been told there is no hell. That's why they don't come to God. They could care less. But the thing is, if you have something to fear, then you're going to start obeying. It's just like if you would hear today, okay, as of today, all the traffic laws, there's not going to be no tickets issued. In other words, they'll be in the book, but there's no punishment. You're not going to get a ticket no more. How many of you would really obey that? I know I wouldn't. I'd be just stopping at the stop sign, make sure nobody hit me, and then keep on going. But you see, the thing is that the laws are there so that people can obey it. And you have to castigate somebody. Otherwise, if you just give them a verbal warning, they don't learn their lesson. That's what we see here, what God is doing. He has to spank. That's the only way you learn a lesson. We have people come here and complain all the time. Oh, I got a ticket. Well, why don't you obey the law? If you would obey, you wouldn't get a ticket. Don't come here complaining that they gave me a ticket. You know how many times Christians have told me, I got a ticket, brother? I tell you the number, but I don't have enough fingers. The thing is that everybody gets tickets, and you got it because you disobeyed. And that's what the Bible is telling us here. God has to have punishment. Because that's the only way that people pay attention. I want you to go now to Deuteronomy chapter 5. Deuteronomy 5. Let me give you a brief summary. I'm going to read to you only one verse from Deuteronomy 5. But I want to just give you a brief summary of what's taking place. You know already, those of you who read the Bible and know the Scriptures, that this is now in the last few days of the 40 years. They've been in the wilderness all this time. They're about to go into the Promised Land. And Moses is giving them a summary of all the years past. And he's reminding them of something that took place at the beginning. He says, remember when we were in Horeb, where the mountain of God was on fire, and there was a big smoke and a very thick cloud, and God spoke to you at that time, and you were on one side, and God was on the mountain, and I stood in between? Because the Bible tells you that Moses is a type of Christ. He's between God and man, just like Jesus is the mediator between God and man. And that's exactly what Moses was doing. He was right in the middle. And then he goes on to say, and this is what God said, and he quotes the whole Ten Commandments. He gives you the whole Ten Commandments, and when it's all finished and said and done, then they ask Moses, Moses, will you please, will you talk to God and listen to what He has to say, and then come and tell us, and we'll obey Him. Now, God terrified them, because this is the only way people really listen. The Bible says that He spoke with a very great voice. Now, God listened to what they said. Now, let me read to you the response that God gave at that time on verse 29. 5:29. He says, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that they would really mean it. That they would really mean what's in their heart. The thing is that God knows what's in your heart. The Bible says that your heart is deceitful and desperately wicked, and you don't even know it. And that's why He's saying, oh, I wish they really would pay attention. I wish they really would fear me. Do you know that all these guys that are listening right now, that were listening to Moses, all their families had just been killed? The last 40 years, they had been going from funeral to funeral to funeral, maybe 20, 30, 40 people a day, to be able to wipe out all those who believe not. Maybe 1 million people, and even with all of that right in front of their face, with all the evidence, and they still don't fear God. If they don't fear God with all the evidence, how are you and I going to fear the Lord? I find it very hard. First of all, none of us like to fear. I've been in fear of my life many times. I won't tell you stories, but I have been in fear of my life. Nobody likes to fear. The Bible says that fear is torment. Fear is very uneasy. It's agitating. That's when you see danger that is near, or pain or evil close to you. That's when you fear. Nobody likes it. And then when you read the Scriptures, you find that about 60 times God uses the word fear. And many times He tells you, fear not. Don't fear this. Don't fear that. I'm with you. I'll fight for you. But 30 times, it tells you the fear of God. It flies right over us. We ignore it. We don't want to pay attention to what God has to say. Nevertheless, that's what the Bible teaches us. And what I see in the Scriptures is that even though God tells you to fear, you know that to come to God, the Bible tells you in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, He says, know thee not that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. That's what led me to repentance. When I understood and realized what He had done for me, it tore me apart. But it also taught me that if I didn't get saved, There was a hell waiting for me. And that is something that God will put in your heart. It tells you that from Jeremiah. He says, with the new covenant, God says, I will put my fear in their hearts. That's why John Newton, I guess that's his name, the one who wrote Amazing Grace, a very wicked individual who dealt with slave trading, who was very, very bad, but then God touched him. And he wrote that song, Amazing Grace, that saved a wretch like me. He goes on to say, 'twas fear, 'twas grace that taught my heart to fear. And that's exactly what happens to all of us. It is only grace that teaches us not to fear. But you know, my friend, if you continue to read, and this is all over, I just chose a few. But Moses goes on chapter 12. He says, and what does the Lord require of thee? And he goes on to say, fear God. And then he lists the commandments. Keep this, keep that, keep this. But fearing God is number one. That's what Moses said. Now, when you read Solomon, Solomon was the greatest mind, the most intelligent man. He would put any one of us here in America to shame. This guy was given all these gifts by God. Yet, even though he was the most knowledgeable and the most intelligent human being that had walked here, and I'm not counting the Lord, I'm just counting human being born of men and women like you and I, this man also became the biggest fool. He went on to say, I wanted to find out everything about everything. He says, I wanted to know everything about folly. Who told him to? To find everything about how it is to be crazy and stupid? He wanted to know, I gave myself to know wine. I gave myself to know women. No woman was saved around him. He wound up marrying 700 and then had 300 on the side. That's not what God wants you to follow. But let me tell you what he wrote was inspired of God. And the thing that he concluded after he gives you all this good advice from God, he says, let us hear the whole conclusion. Fear God and keep his commandments. That's what God had said all the way at Mount Horeb. That's what he said by all the prophets. That's what said by Moses. That's what he said by Joshua. That's what he said by the Apostle Paul all the way into the book of Revelation. God wants you to fear him, and there's many reasons why you need to fear him. So many people think that all it is we just have a God that he's like Santa Claus. He will bring you and give you everything. And when I listen to the radio or I turn on the TV to hear somebody preaching, I don't hear the wrath of God or to fear the Lord. It's always God will bless you. Just touch the television. I'll send you a handkerchief and God's going to bless you. Send me $1,000. That's all you hear. But you know, the thing is, when God says he wants people to fear him, he goes all the way to the millennium. You find in Revelation 12, he says, this man child, he will rule the nations with a rod of iron. And you go to the book of Psalm chapter 2, and you will see also that he will rule with a rod of iron. Why a rod of iron? Can you imagine our presidents or somebody ruling with a rod of iron? God's going to do it. And in Psalm chapter 2, you see that the sinners are smashed to pieces. Now, this is something that most people will not read to you or preach to you, but this is what's in the Bible. You're supposed to fear the Lord. The problem with America, we think that we have a Santa Claus for a God. They say that, well, he was only a good prophet. He was only a good man. But that's not what the Bible is teaching you. Now, there's many benefits. To fear God, there's many benefits. I won't take you to every verse. We'd never finish. But it does tell you that the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The fear of God is the beginning of understanding. The fear of God will teach you to flee from evil. The fear of God will teach you or will bring God's blessing upon you. He will have mercy forever on those that fear Him. Just over and over and over, He tells you, your life will be prolonged. I would like to live a long life. This is what the Bible is telling you. Nevertheless, those who have no fear of God, like that thief on the cross that went to hell, the Bible also tells you in Romans 3, those that are lost, and it gives you a description. Then he says, there is no fear of God in their eyes. There is no fear of God in their eyes. And this is the mentality of people. That's why they say bad things about Jesus. That's why they do the things they do. They have no fear of God. They think that nobody's ever going to get to them. Nobody will get after them. But did you notice also that the prophets in the New Testament also preached the fear of God? When Peter went to the Cornelius family, the Bible says that he was told that this Cornelius, he was a man who did a lot of good. He gave alms. He loved the Jewish nation. And the Bible says, and he feared God. And then when Peter comes over, he says, I perceive that God is not a respecter of persons. And he says, but in every nation, he that feareth him and worketh righteousness is accepted by him. In every nation, it don't matter whether you're from Iran or Pakistan or American or Mexican, if anybody in any nation will just fear God and work his righteousness, is accepted by him. It doesn't matter where you're from, what color, or your financial status. This is just something that God tells you very plainly. Now, let's go to the book of Proverbs, chapter 8. The book of Proverbs, chapter 8. This is another one that I'd like to read to you. It is on verse 13. Proverbs 8:13. He says, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Pride and arrogancy and the evil way and the froward mouth do I hate. In other words, what he's saying, if what comes out of your mouth or the things that you profess, if they are evil, and you're doing that which is not good, which is wrong, and you know it, I don't have to spell it out. We can just go down the Ten Commandments. If you're involved in any of these, then you don't have any fear of God. You don't fear what He will do to you. You think that he will just let you slide. A policeman was telling me, a good friend of mine, a lot of them get part-time jobs working for different companies. They become head of security for this company or the other. And he was telling me just the other day, he says, you know, I'm head of security for this company where they pick and pull auto parts. And the owner, he says, fires every 2 weeks, the person he hires. Every 2 weeks, they get caught stealing. I said, how do they do it? How does he catch them? He says, he's got cameras. He's got voice detectors. They're all over the place. They don't know it. But many times people, it's not so much from the cash register. Many times their friends just go by and don't pay nothing. And the camera's catching it. Because he's going to get compensated later on, maybe half for the part. The thing is that if these guys last only 2 weeks, they get caught all the time, and most thieves are very stupid. They get caught all the time. If they get caught here on earth because of the computers, and they can spot you from their house, they're connected to the internet, and through their laptop, they can see what you're doing. Even his wife, he was telling me, she's able to watch her employee at work from her house, from her kitchen. She's watching what she's doing. She sees everything that's going on, all the transaction. And if you can get caught by people, how much God that sees everything. Not only does he see what you do, but he also hears and he also knows the intents of your heart before you even commit such a crime, before you even violate his laws. He already knows it. It's a shame. And then people wonder, well, why did I get fired? God doesn't bless me. How come I lost my wife? How come I lost my family? And you wonder, why did all these things happen? Don't blame God. Blame yourself. You need to fear the Lord. He will take vengeance. You know, my friend, let me just take you to the last... let me tell you a story first that I saw some time back. I kept it in my mind because it really touched me. But I was watching on one of the channels where they give you the true stories. I forget the name of it, but you know which one. History Channel. And they were given a story of a boat that had many soldiers. They were on the way to war. It was about 1943, and there were four chaplains on that boat. These chaplains wanted so bad to do a good job when they'd get to the field. Well, while they were on the boat, traveling in the middle of the ocean, they realized that they were being chased, or followed rather, by a submarine. They tried to bomb that submarine and they couldn't get it. The submarine got away. They knew that the submarine was still trailing. And the night came. And those chaplains warned everybody, make sure you got your life vest on. Make sure you got all your shoes when you go to bed. Make sure that you're fully dressed for combat, because we don't know what will happen. And instead, they did exactly what the world does. They had a party. They drank, they were singing, stayed up late, and then when they went to bed, they were in their underwears. No life jackets. And then they got hit by a torpedo during the night. I think it was 2 or 3 in the morning. And everybody began trying to run. Many were killed, of course. But then they were trying to run as the boat was taking a lot of water. And they were running and they were trying to undo some of the life boats that they had. They had like 20. Only 2 were able to get unhitched because the other ones were frozen. People were coming out and it was so cold. They were on underwears. No life jacket. They couldn't find it in the dark. They were crying. And then these 4 chaplains took off their life vest and gave it to some of them. And as the boat was going down and people were jumping in the water, it took 17 minutes before that boat disappeared. Those 4 chaplains, they were just hanging on to each other and singing to the Lord. Amen. These guys received the highest honor that a soldier can get. It wasn't the Medal of Honor. They were in the Navy, so whatever medal they give them. Then the government honored them by making a stamp with the 4 chaplains on it, their pictures. Now they're being honored, but what was so touching to me was that they were being warned and warned and warned, and that's exactly how many people are. You're being told that the wrath of God is coming. You're being told that even if not, you're going to die one day and destruction comes as a whirlwind. That's what the Bible says. When destruction came, then they're crying. Then they can't stand it no more. And you just pity them because they're going to hell. If you haven't gotten saved, that's exactly what will happen to you. You will be taken, and then when it's going to be too late, God says, at that time, when you begin to cry to me, he says, then I'm going to laugh at your calamity because you never wanted none of me. And that's what it reminded me. But let me take you to the last one that I'll go to the book of Revelation, chapter 14. Revelation 14. Let me read to you verse 6. And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation and kindred and tongue and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him. For the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth, and the sea and the fountains of water. Fear God, and give glory to Him. You know, my friend, all this is when you fear God, is when you realize that He's God and you're not. He is the Creator and you're the creature. He's the Master and you're the servant. He is God Almighty that can give you eternal life and you can't save yourself. And when you come to that realization and you humble yourself and repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in Him and call on Him, making Him your Lord and your Savior, that's when He saves you. That's when you're giving Him glory. That's why Jesus says, go and preach the gospel to every creature and tell him to repent and preach remission of sins in my name. And this is exactly what the angel is saying. Of course, what's going to happen during the tribulation? So many people will fear God more than men. Jesus had already told them. He said, don't fear what men shall do unto you. After they kill you, there's nothing else they can do. During the tribulation, these people will fear God more than they will fear men. They will lay their necks on the line, but they will not take the mark. They will not care what the Antichrist has to do, or their heads that have to be chopped off, because that's what was going to happen. But instead, they will fear God, and they will honor Him and give Him glory. And that's what salvation is all about. Why don't you give Him glory this morning? Why don't you just repent of your sins and put your faith and trust in God? Maybe you don't know how to fear God. That's something for God to give you. He will give you His fear. He will put it in your heart the instant that you accept Him as Lord and Savior. Why don't you give glory to God and accept Him? You don't boast of tomorrow. The Bible says that He is a consuming fire. And it also says it is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. He's saying, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. And this is the reason why, my friend, the Bible tells us very plainly to fear Him, that it might be good for you and your children. Praise the Lord Jesus. The altar will be open. You want to ask the Lord to save your soul? Come over here and show the Lord. Tell Him you're sorry. We're going to sing 248. Let's stand. 249, rather. Let's stand.